You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another fabulous episode of Dear Multi-Hyphenate. I am your host, Michael Kushner. What a time we are in. Huh? I will continue to donate to Planned Parenthood and organizations that support people with uteruses and the ability to get pregnant. The overturning of Roe versus Wade is a massive blow, and I'm having trouble staying positive. And I normally don't have trouble staying positive, but in this moment I'm feeling terrified and nervous of what's to come next. But what has been wonderful is, you know, being around a community, is having a community of like-minded people that think and feel the same way. And that is the one glimmer of hope that I have for the future in regards to getting us back on track to... It's not even progressive. It's just like basic human rights. And like 54 Below on Instagram posted that they stand, you know, in solidarity with, you know, people with uteruses and how awful the overturning of Roe versus Wade is. And there are people commenting on it being like, are you going to lift your vax mandate? The vaccine has nothing to do with Roe versus Wade. And it's like, I never really comment on Instagrams like that, but I was literally like, your lack of ability to have a vaccination literally puts hundreds of other people at risk, but the ability to be pro-choice does not. I don't understand. It's so... If anyone can explain that to me, I don't know. I don't... There's so much broken in the way that people think the education system. I mean, there's so much fear and cult-like activity. I'm sorry, I'm fired up, and I'm sad, and I'm scared, and I'm glad that you're listening to this episode, because in these times, you know, we have to, it's difficult because we have to, you know, we have to pay the bills and we have to continue to create and we have to continue to just do our jobs. But we also have to reserve brain space for what is happening in our political system. And it's such a balance. It is such a balance, you know. It's Pride Week. I'm recording this intro on Pride Weekend, and this episode was recorded a few weeks ago, but it's hard to celebrate Pride and to, like, post on social media. You know, it's all very difficult and to navigate. And my honest to God words of wisdom in this moment is to be kind to each other. I have a tattoo that says be kind, be careful, and be yourself, and that is, I think, what we have to really listen to in this moment. Be kind, be careful, be yourself. Be kind to performers on Broadway. I'm seeing on social media people just shit-talking people. Stop! What? How do you have the capacity to do that? How do you have the capacity to literally go on social media and drag someone when our lives are falling apart? Wow, I'm fired up. But what I will say is be kind, be careful, be yourself. And I used to do quotes under multi-hyphenate for every opening of every episode. And that's my quote. Be kind, be careful, be yourself. Now moving on to this episode. It's an inspiring episode. It's a wonderful episode. And it's featuring Tony nominee Jared Grimes, who is so wonderful to speak to. And Jared is currently starring in the in the Funny Girl revival on Broadway, and he received a Tony nomination for his performance. And I saw it the other night, and he really is so wonderful. Jared is a quadruple threat in the world of the arts, where he is heavily making his mark in singing, dancing, acting, and choreographing. On numerous occasions, he has danced alongside legends such as Wynton Marsalis, Gregory Hines, Ben Vereen, Jerry Lewis, and so many more. He's also performed for Obama and Ted Kennedy at the Kennedy Center. And he has been on Broadway in productions such as A Soldier's Play and After Midnight. In the world of acting, Jared is known for his recurring role of Adrian on NBC's hit show Manifest. Make sure you go to the August Wilson and see Funny Girl and watch him light up that stage. I loved the revival. I had such a great time the other night seeing it. Beanie, Ramin, they're all, it's a wonderful show. So please support Jared and the rest of the company and that fabulous revival. I hope you enjoy the show, and please write a review. Follow on Instagram at DearMulti-Hyphenate. Comment, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Okay, enjoy the episode.
Hello, Jared. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You are a Tony nominee.
Oh, man, that's crazy. It's, you said it, and I was kind of like, oh, yes. Yeah.
just in case you didn't know.
I'm still on cloud nine. I know I said that a couple of days ago or even like after, but like, I don't know if I'll ever come out the clouds. That's bizarre. It's bizarre. I just, you know, I guess sometimes you, and you could probably attest to this too. You work so hard and you stay in the lab and you're such a perfectionist and you're obsessed with the craft to the point where you like, you know, you just don't really know how to respond to, you know, feedback in the way or in the form of like an award or recognition, you know, at certain levels like that. So I was just like, the fact that, you know, that's now attached to, you know, some of the hard work that I've been doing, it's just like, oh yeah, oh yes, oh my goodness, thank you. But it's almost like okay, well, okay, thank you. I'm gonna go back in the lab and start working on some stuff. You know,
that's amazing. I mean, you know, it's so incredible to live vicariously through you and share your excitement. And because I'm such an admirer of your work. I think, you know, you are such an incredible hard worker. And you know, we're in show business, so of course it's like, we as a spectator, it's like, you know, watching like social media stars come up and we sort of, I guess, assume that, oh, I can't believe they're getting that much, you know, a praise or building an audience like that. Cause like, we feel that like social, maybe some people that I've spoken to are like, social media is not real. I can't believe social media is becoming a part of our industry, but like watching, you know, your God-given talent and your trained ability and the focus and that and the blood, sweat, and tears that you put into the art form that you do is so refreshing and so inspiring, because it's like art is still alive and art is still, it takes training and it takes focus and dedication. And I think you are a living, breathing testament to that. And it's very exciting.
Thank you so much, man. I thought there's something wrong with me for a long time. I was like, am I the only one that like is obsessed? I mean, people are obsessed like that, but yeah, with social media and stuff like that too. I think, especially probably around what, 2000, I want to say like 2000, let's say 10 to like maybe 2015, somewhere in there, maybe even a little bit earlier than that. But that's when that kind of really jumped into my universe as being a thing. And I was like, man, do I have to go in that direction? Or how do I figure out how to spiral, you know, what I love to do in that direction and make it viable, you know, in that space too as well. So that, I mean, especially since the industry started to lean towards shining lights on people that really knew what they were doing over there. And, I love all things that, you know, can attribute and make an artist's voice louder and magnify it in ways that they might not be able to do in the physical. So I love it for that too. But I think it's very important to make sure that you know, people who definitely have a gift or that are, you know, talented, and that love, you know, how the craft elevates them and helps them evolve. I definitely think it's important to let, you know, artists know and upcoming artists know that you can't shrink it for the social media platform. You have to find ways to expand it on the platform. Because, you know, you find that a lot of times people, you know, devalue and dilute, you know, their brand and their gifts, their blessings, in order to make it work for a certain thing. And, you know, as long as people kind of stay strong-willed and open-minded and you know, stay steadfast in their fight to elevate themselves as opposed to reducing themselves for, you know, like I said, certain platforms, then I think they'll be okay. But it's the, I've seen that go the other way a few times, and it's unfortunate because I'm just like, oh no, you didn't need to do that, or you didn't have to do it that way. You can have it all. You can have your cake and eat it too, but don't compromise your gift. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, whatever makes one happy and whatever makes one feel like their voice is being heard, then I'll always support them and applaud that. But I'll always, you know, fight for the best aspects of their voice.
Of course. That's beautiful. So you're on Dear Multi-Hyphenate, which is a podcast for multi-hyphenates. And what I say a multi-hyphenate is an artist who has multiple proficiencies which cross-pollinate to help flourish professional capabilities. So in layman's terms, I do a lot of shit. And you're on this podcast because you do too. So my hyphens, my proficiencies would be actor, photographer, producer, writer, podcaster. What would yours be?
Actor, dancer, singer, producer, writer, director.
Choreographer?
Choreographer. I forgot that one.
I had to do my research before we had this conversation. I was like, oh,
almost forgot.
Yeah, no, I know. I love that. No, that's, and also educator too, right?
Yeah, I think educator and you know, I love to. I'm a motivator too as well. Like, I like to see people succeed, and I like to help people get to, you know, where it is that they're trying to get to in life. So you know, it's so many different things that a multi-hyphenate could be. I think you know, in pastime, you usually just say triple threat, or you just say, you know, that kind of thing. But it's like, as you said, you know, even with, you know, all the things that you're proficient in, you know, you can be anything, you know, according to the circumstances or according to the goal. So Monday, you might be a whole different bag of tricks from Tuesday, which might be a whole different bag of tricks from Wednesday. But if you can, you know, wear all those hats and really create change and help people, then yeah, multi-hyphenate, you know, superhero, whatever you want to call it. I think that's, you know, I think it's amazing that people are really willing to expand and broaden their horizons in the arts.
Multi-hyphenating is an art form. And I have a book about this topic coming out in the fall, and which is exciting, but it's like writing about it from this very like scientific standpoint. Like, I wrote it in the third person, so I don't mention the word I and my experience at all in it. It has to be, it's very like A plus B equals C. It's very interesting to write a book about art like that. But the conversation on my podcast has been so freeing because it's like, I have my perspective of what a multi-hyphenate is, but I get to broaden that and make it an art form based on the conversations that I have with people like you. You know, it's like when I first started, it was like the triple threat was not the multi-hyphenate because it's the triple threat. The multi-hyphenate is like, you know, it's the producer, it's broadening those proficiencies into creating your own work. But as I listen more and more, I'm like, absolutely, like those are your hyphens. And the way, and if you could justify it, if you identify with it, it's an art form, then go with it and run with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So exactly.
What for you sort of came first? What was the hyphen, the proficiency that sort of like opened up everything for you and started to welcome in your other hyphens?
Oh, tap dance. It was tap dance. You know, my mom was my very first teacher. My mom is horrible at tap, but she had like a couple steps she gave me, and I took those steps, and I was, you know, I took them and ran, and it became my first love. And through tap is actually how I got into all the other genres of dance. And then watching old movies from Seeking Dance, and, you know, different professionals and different, you know, celebrities and superstars in that space, you know, at that time, the only ones were, they existed in black and white movies on VHS tapes. So, yes. You know, I'm looking at Bill Robinson, Bill Bojangles Robinson, that is, John Bubbles, Baby Lawrence, Teddy Hale, Gregory Hines, Sammy Davis Jr., the Nicholas Brothers, the Barry Brothers, you know, all those tap dancers from the early 1900s. I was enamored by their ability to tap dance and the fact that tap dance was their first love too, and how they were, you know, megastars because of it. But then I was like, wow, they're not just tap dancing. Mm-hmm. I was like, so why are they called a tap dancer when they're doing so many other things? And then I, at an early age, I began to kind of latch on to the idea that, okay, well, if you're a tap dancer, that means you can be many things. It doesn't mean that you just use your feet to connect with people or share with people. Because I'm looking at all my heroes and they're singing, they're acting, they're comedians, they're Lindy Hoppers, they're writers, they're choreographers, they do camera work, they're behind the camera, in front of the camera. I was like, all those guys did that. And I was just like, wow, so that's what it is to be a tap dancer. So my earliest idea of what a tap dancer was a multi-hyphenate, which was something in the early 1900s that, you know, that term didn't really exist for them. They were just talented.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they were just versatile. So I was just like, oh, okay, cool. So I began to really dive into all of those disciplines because of my first love and the first thing that I latched onto, which is tap dance.
The word multi-hyphenate came out around the 70s. And I think it's in reference to Mel Brooks and Woody Allen and Whoopi Goldberg and creators like that. Like, I think... Mm-hmm. But what I've noticed over the years is that in order to identify as a multi-hyphenate, you have to have accolades. You have to be a celebrity. Actually, I changed the definition, but the first definition of multi-hyphenating was like a celebrity that does a lot of stuff. And it's like, why does it have to be a celebrity? Like,
yeah.
Why can't a younger artist start in the industry as a multi-hyphenate? Why are we told that we can't express ourselves in more ways than one? And I love that you just talked about multi-hyphenating in the tap world, because it's so true. Multi-hyphenating has existed in the vaudevillian times. It's Molly Brown, as the survivor of the Titanic, was a multi-hyphenate. She literally was an activist and an actor, and she did multiple things at once, but the word did not exist. And why I think this conversation is important is because it opens up the conversation that we all have the power to express ourselves through multiple proficiencies, using that dominant proficiency like tap or jazz or Shakespeare, like whatever our dominant proficiency is, we can allow that to open us up to so many different experiences.
Yes, that's what tap dance has definitely done for me. I've worked on so many jobs that have nothing to do with tap dance, but I can attribute tap dance to helping me in a major way succeed in that job. And it's just like, I sometimes I say that to people and they don't quite understand. They're like, well, what does that have to do with you hitting that mark? I was just like, well, you know, I have a keen sense of rhythm, you know, musically. And if I know that mark is there, then while I'm, you know, saying my lines or doing my monologue, then I'm locked into how that feels. Mm. So that way I can land on that mark every single time for the camera guy. And so even like, that's just a small way, but you know, it kind of makes me smile because I'm just like, yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving across many platforms. And you would never think the tap dance is that, but I watched it work for Sammy Davis Jr. and Gregory Hines and all those guys. I watched them achieve everything under the sun because tap dance was a vehicle to magnify their voice and their abilities. So yeah, you shouldn't have to be a celebrity to be a multi-hyphenate. And also it's funny because when you get into the industry, at least when I got into the industry, I feel like I scared people. I feel like I had too much going on and people didn't know what to do. So they felt like they wouldn't be able to, you know, like, well, this is, you don't want this job because you're not going to be able to do this, or you don't want this because you're not going to be able to do that. And they would go with somebody who was the furthest thing from a multi-hyphenate because that made them feel like that person was more qualified, or maybe even made them feel more qualified for that person because they didn't have so many things going on. And that frustrated me too, because I, at a certain point in time, I felt like I was put in a position to be like, all right, well, do I have to take certain things off of my resume not to intimidate the, you know, the job or the director or the choreographer or the producer, or do I have to keep people from calling me a tap dancer? Because as soon as you hear the word tap dancer, you assume that that's all that I do, or vice versa about anything else. So I went through a huge phase of kind of being concerned about, you know, the boxes that people were putting me in, because I was, you know, so proficient and worked so hard at so many different things. I didn't want to seem like I was tough to handle or difficult to handle because of something that I was passionate about or all the things that I was passionate about. So then I was like, all right, cool. I am whatever you say I am. You know what I mean? So I was like, I became obsessed with the game of how can I get this job without you knowing that I do all this other stuff?
Wow.
I was like, how can I make you believe that this is all that I do by how much I devote to this audition or this monologue or this scene? And I started to actually do that. Like, one of the first things was Scottsboro Boys with Susan Stroman. When the beginning phases of the workshop, I got the audition on a monologue. I got the part. She didn't even know I tap dance.
Wow.
Until we were doing like a studio recording, and my character says the character does a little soft shoe at this little dance break in the song. And while I was in the booth at the recording studio, I did, and she was like, wait. She was like, I had no idea. I was like, gotcha. I was like, I gotcha. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know, that for me let me know that, you know, I wasn't just somebody that, you know, had a first love of tap dance and I was okay at other things. It let me know that I was working really hard and I was really, you know, maniacally obsessed with the highest levels of everything that I was passionate about. Same thing with, you know, Manifest on Netflix, you know what I mean? Nobody knew who the heck I was. They didn't know anything dance, me at all, until, like, you know, they started looking at my social media, like, you know, like, they were like, wait, we didn't know. It was just like, gotcha.
So. I think that's the episode title is gotcha. It's okay. There's so much to unpack here. So much incredible stuff to unpack here, because I think the last people to get the multi-hyphenate are the people in power. Like I think for some reason, many people are scared to hire multi-hyphenates because we can get distracted, or we have too much on our plate, or we're jack of all trades, masters of none. But that's not the case at all. The whole idea of the multi-hyphenate is to literally go, hello, from the hours of 10 to 6 while we're working on this workshop, I am the actor. My phone is away. I have an assistant working on my other project. Everything is organized for my other project, and I am yours for this hour. I'm for these hours. We are allowed to, I'm watching Severance, so this is sort of in my mind. Like, yeah. Like, we are allowed to go from 10 to 6. My boundary is I am yours, and we are in this space together. And then the second I step out at 6:01, I'll check my emails and figure out, you know, my next meetings and stuff like that. So for me, you talk about resume and stuff like that. I have multiple resumes. I have my performer resume. I have my photography resume. I have my, I have a multi-hyphenate resume where it's basically like actor is on it. And it's like, it has like a little, like, I have been seen in A, B, and C, but it more has like, I was the keynote speaker for this, and I did this, and I did that. Something that shows that I have a broad range of different hyphens and proficiencies that is meant to show me off as the multi-hyphenate. But then I also have a separate piece of paper that is just my performance resume. And I have felt that has helped sort of not confuse those behind the table. My favorite question, though, is to ask people. We're getting there, I guess. My favorite thing is to ask creatives, and I go, how does a multi-hyphenate help you? Like, ask a director or a casting director or a producer, go, what are the benefits? And some people are like, I don't even know what you mean. I don't know what you're asking. Like, and like an artist that can do multiple things. How does that help you? You do realize that many of us today are multi-hyphenates. You're not just hiring the actor anymore. And it's so wild to like sort of watch them go, I got to think about that.
It is bizarre. I felt so silly feeling like that, but I actually felt like that. Even with social media, as we talked about social media before, I was like, oh, wow, I can't put too much of this on my social media because then you'll think that that's all I do. Yep. I was like, I had to like strategically, you know, make sure that I diversified, you know, my social media portfolio, or else you would think that I was just a singer or that I was just a tap dancer or I was just a choreographer. And it was funny because in Hollywood, in the early 1900s, you couldn't get through the door unless you were a multi-hyphenate. You know? You just weren't. Like Judy Garland, like all of Fred Astaire, all those stars, Buster Keaton, you know, anybody you can think of in Hollywood, they did so many different things. And I think I don't know where it narrowed down to the fact that, you know, we just want to use a person that just does one thing. But that became the trend for so long. All the way up until I feel like I got to New York and like maybe somewhere around the 2000s, the later 2000s, I feel like it started to change a little bit. It's still kind of like an iron grip on the singular sensation type of artist. But I feel like now just, you know, even with your podcast and us even having conversations like this and more performers that are proficient across the board, I feel like will change the game again, and it'll get back to what it was in the early 1900s, which is that artist that like can help you achieve anything you possibly want to achieve, even if you don't need it. Yeah. You know, because that's what we wake up to do. We wake up to conquer. We wake up to conquer. It's not enough just to check off one box when you wake up. You have to feel like you're evolving across many different disciplines. You know, the doctors told me that was ADD when I was a kid. I was like, wait, no. It was like, my mom was like, I don't care if it's ABC, VCR, CBS. She was like, it's not that. And we just gonna, you know, we're gonna, you know, fill his time up with things that he loves to do. That's gonna be his medication. I'm not putting him on medication for what you think is a disability. You know, being a multi-hyphenate is not a disability. It's an ability. It's an advantage. And so here I am today. And I'm just like, I've been here since the beginning of time. This is what I watched all of my heroes do. I cannot be a freak of nature to you unless you just weren't willing to see, you know, me or see us or see people that, you know, are proficient in other things, because frankly, somebody that's not makes you feel more comfortable. I really think that's kind of been what, at least in my experiences and when I've had the door closed in my face, that's what's, you know, kind of been the situation. And I'm glad and I'm optimistic about that being, you know, a different conversation moving forward, because like you said, like I can do so many things to help you be successful, to help us be successful in the grand scheme of, you know, entertainment or the arts. So, you know, like I said, use me as an advantage, you know.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
I think, you know, you asked the question, when did it get so narrow? And I think it's, you know, I've noticed that multi-hyphenates are made, and I've said this in other episodes too, but multi-hyphenates are made primarily of BIPOC queer and artists and women. And I mm-hmm. think it's because our stories are not centered ever. And mm-hmm. we have been the ones that have been like, okay, I don't see myself on that screen or on that stage. So I'm going to write that story. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find the producing team. I'm going to produce this. I'm going to hire the director, and we're going to get this story to be centered. And then, like, look at Lin-Manuel Miranda, look at Mel Brooks, mm-hmm. look at Rachel mm-hmm. Brosnahan, Whoopi Goldberg, Issa Rae, all of these are people that have been decentered and marginalized at multiple points in their lives, you know, mm-hmm. these famous multi-hyphenates, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's born out of the idea of like figuring out our places in the industry. And how did it get so narrow? We're also a society that loves boxes. Okay, you're gay, right? You're mm-hmm. gay, but you're okay. What do you mean you're trans now? Does that change who you're attracted? It's like people love to figure it out.
Boxes.
Boxes. It's all about mm-hmm. boxes. So that bleeds into identity as artists. It's just the society that we're in. When there are other cultures that celebrate, you know, multiple identities and multiple paths and multiple mm-hmm. experiences, but we mm-hmm. are not that society.
And it's ridiculous. it's like you gotta build a box takes so much energy. Like all the energy that you were using to build a box, you could be doing so many other great things in the world. I do not understand how building labels and boxes really shows up on people's agendas without them realizing that they are wasting their own time.
Yeah.
When they could just be opening their minds and saving energy and using that towards inclusivity.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's like you kind of bring up a really cool point that I've not thought about. It takes so much energy to bat out the impulses that your body is telling you in regards to interest, like mm-hmm. as a tap dancer. Or like you have embraced the multi-hyphenate aspect of yourself, but there are people that are like, nope, I'm just a tap dancer. I'm just a pop singer. I'm not going to explore the other aspects of myself. And that takes so much more energy than embracing those other interests that are bubbling up inside of you.
And I have no problem with that. When I say singular sensation, I don't mean that's in a derogatory way. Like there's people that just feel like they need to focus on one thing, and I have no problem with that. I applaud you. I think that's great. But then you can't be mad at somebody or bitter about somebody else that does a lot of things.
Yes.
So you can't do that. Like you just can't do that. And I suffer. I didn't suffer, but I struggled with that too when I first got to New York. With a lot of peers of mine were confused that I was doing this, and then I was backup dancing, and then I was doing choreography, and then it was, you know, it, you know, there was, you know, for a little bit there was this mentality that, you know, if he wasn't doing one thing, then he's not focused on that, mm-hmm. or that he's not a purist, or that he's not really about the craft. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. And you know, I don't let that kind of noise, distract me. And, you know, after a while, then people understand, okay, cool. It's they start to open their minds a little bit when they see, you know, what your purpose is or what you feel your purpose is. But I think a lot of times when it comes to, you know, that type of mentality, you know, they scare people away from, you know, exploring other disciplines,
yeah,
or exploring other dreams. Yes. Or possibilities for themselves. And I've had teachers do that to me. Like I've had peers do that. I've had teachers do that to me. And I'm like, wait, isn't a teacher's job first and foremost to make sure that their student flourishes?
Yep.
In whatever way it is that they need to flourish? Like, why are you telling me I just need this class? Or why are you telling me that I'm never going anywhere if I get a D in algebra? Like, what are you doing? Like, that's not what your job is supposed to be. You're supposed to elevate me. You're supposed to help me strengthen my weaknesses by elevating, you know, me in my best light, because that should be able to help me strengthen my weaknesses. And I just, you know, from peers, like, I get it. Like, that's a competitive type of thing. But like, when I had teachers doing that, I was just like, I literally had to, you know, lock myself in the lab and figure out exactly what my purpose was and what I wanted to be in this lifetime and how I wanted to give and help to people. And, you know, I hate to say this, but I lost a lot of people that I thought were near and dear to me mm. that you know, may have been near and dear to me, but I don't think that they really had my best interest in hand because they didn't really agree with, you know, how I was approaching my gifts or how I was utilizing my gifts. If you think my gifts are a distraction, then we can't roll in the same circles. We just can't roll in the same circles. My blessings are not a distraction. My gifts are not a distraction. You know, they're the biggest compass that I could ever have. You know,
that is beautiful. I mean, you know, I've had these two women as guests on Dear Multi-Hyphenate, but two teachers that I will always credit as helping me understand my multi-hyphenate experience, Elena Maria Garcia and Cynthia Henderson.
Nice.
You know, Garcia is a three-time Carbonella winner in South Florida, and she is a educator, producer, writer, director, performer, amongst other things. And Cynthia Henderson, from my college, is a professor, performer, director, producer, and social change activist. And, mm-hmm. you know, they do it. They do it. They pay their bills that way. But then, like, you know, I had other professors at my college, you know, when it was a cut program, and this professor that I'm talking about is no longer there. But like, I remember if you sort of showed interest of other stuff, that would show up in your like review letter being like, we know that you're showing interest for like this, et cetera. We think maybe you might be interested in that more. Maybe you should explore it. And then sort of like hang that over your head in terms of mm-hmm. like discontinuing you from the program.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it's like, and that was only one professor who is no longer there, and there is no longer a cut system. At my alma mater, but it still was like, oh my God, I can show interest for other things, but I'm at the risk of these people that are narrow-minded in thinking, and my future is at risk. Like, can I graduate a BFA with a BFA in musical theater if I show interest in camera work? Are they going to let me just because I'm interested in that? Like, that doesn't make me any less serious about my craft as a performer.
Exactly.
So I totally hear you about support from educators and how important it is from the educational standpoint to be like, you have that interest. How can it affect your performance in a positive way? How can it make you a better performer?
Exactly, man. I just whew. I mean, that's the gospel, right? We in here preaching. It's also the thing of like, just because, you know, this individual focuses on one thing and I focus on that thing too, as well as many other things, it doesn't mean that that individual is going to be better than me at that one thing.
Correct.
We both deserve a fair chance to read that monologue or to do that dance routine or to show you our choreography. You shouldn't automatically assume that just because that person buries himself in one thing and this person over here buries themselves in multiple things, that person is more qualified at that one job that they both do. Mm-hmm. Like that's one thing too, that I feel like was a part of that narrowing of the arts. That is, like I said, is starting to open up again too, but it's, you know, hopefully just conversations like this and just the what we represent in terms of, you know, how we, you know, really bring all the things that we love to us and explore it and work at it and perfect it and find the higher levels of it. Like hopefully conversations like this and just how we're ambassadors of that mindset. Hopefully like we create an industry that, you know, puts that forward. We create teachers that put that forward. Like my mom is a teacher. And, you know, I tell my mom every day, I was like, you scared me to death. Like it was it was horrible coming home doing homework with you because you was just like, if you don't get this right, then like, you're horrible. Like, you know what I mean? She wasn't saying like, she wasn't a bad mom, but she was just like, I just didn't respond to that way of mentoring. Right. And we have conversations about that to this, like today. And she was just like, she's like, if I would have known then, you know, I would have taken a different approach. But she was like, that's how my mom taught me. And I was just like, you know, grandmama could never help me do anything because grandmama trying to pull out the belt every time I don't know what 2 + 2 is. So I was like, you know, that's not going to work with me. You know what I'm saying? So So I was like, you know, we have conversations like that. And a lot of that stuff is learned, you know, too. It's kind of passed on, that type of, you know, that box like mentality is kind of passed on, and the world is opening up too. So sometimes you got to wait for people to catch up to you, you know?
So unfortunately, you know, we have to wrap up, but you know, how to end this conversation, how do you think multi-hyphenating has helped you get a Tony nomination?
I just think it's allowed people to celebrate what I was talking about. Those old Black performers in the early 1900s they normalized it.
Yeah.
You know, they normalized it because they had to, like you were saying earlier, you know, when, you know, you don't have as many things that you should have because of the way society is, or if mm-hmm. you don't get the perspective, you know, that you should have because of the way society is, especially with race, in the early 1900s, you had to go above and beyond in order just to get, you know, through the door. And that's a resilience. Mm-hmm. That's a strength. That's a power. That's armor. Mm-hmm. And in order to have battled the test of time and, you know, race and society, when there was a time when you couldn't even vote because of the color of your skin, you were considered less than human. Mm-hmm. And the way you dealt with that was by being a multi-hyphenate. The way you overcame that was by, you know, singing, dancing, and acting, mm-hmm. and finding as many ways through the arts under the sun that you could to change people's lives. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, people who did not look like you. You know, just that's at the end of the day, that's how a lot of barriers were broken down. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm here and I'm able to have this wonderful conversation with you, is because a lot of guys, you know, they suffered a lot of heavy consequences in order to put smiles on people's faces on stages. And they did that in as many ways as you could possibly think of: tap, singing, acting, mm-hmm. comedy, dance, choreography, being that multi-hyphenate. So that was an activist type of art form that they that they took on in the early 1900s, and you know, they paved the way for me. So being a multi-hyphenate has a lot to do with honoring a lot of those Black performers that came before me, and if it wasn't for them, then I wouldn't be in the position of being nominated for Tony in the first place. So you know, It's all for them. It has everything to do with them. And hopefully, you know, one day when I'm long and gone, you know, the next young boy or girl can take on the mission of uplifting their voices as well, too. We got to preserve, we got to maintain the integrity, and we got to fight the good fight for, you know, the people who opened the doors for us in the first place.
Absolutely, Jared. Thank you so much for that. This was such an insightful and exciting conversation. And where can we find you on social media?
Oh, Grimy Steps with a Z on all Instagram. Right. We can throw it up there, but yeah, Grimy Steps is a big one on Instagram, and you'll find some cool stuff up there. I try to keep it fresh and updated. But I'm everywhere.
I love it. And I can't wait to work with you again and see you again soon. And you are the best. Thank you so much for being on Dear Multi-Hyphenate.
Thank you for having me. Can't wait to do it again.
Of course.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at supsmusical.com.